soul. Get up, get yourself together, and find your funky soul. They're doing it down in that soul. Find that funky soul. They're doing it by the beach. They're driving that funky soul. New York, get yourself together.
People, get up. Welcome to the Voices from the Frontline segment of the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hour on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and streaming on the web for the world at www.kpfk.org. My name is Tammy Banglu, and I'm here with my co-host, Damon Azali Rojas. So the top of the show, we're going to be speaking to Dalia Herrera, organizer with the Garment Worker Center, on the upcoming May 1st immigrant rights mobilization being organized by MIWAN, the multi-ethnic immigrant workers organizing network here in Los Angeles. And then last Wednesday, the Supreme Court issued a major ruling upholding a ban on a procedure for midterm abortions, known by abortion opponents as partial birth abortions. So joining us today will discuss the significance of this ruling is Loretta Roth, the national coordinator of Sister Song, Women of Color Reproductive Health Collective. And then in the recent months, in downtown Los Angeles and Skid Row, the LAPD, under the leadership of Chief William Bratton, has arrested more than 6,000 people and given out over 6,700 quality-of-life citations as part of the strategy of broken windows policing that's helping gentrify downtown Los Angeles. So joining us to discuss this is Pete White, Executive Director of Los Angeles Community Action Network. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Dalia Herrera from the Garment Worker Center. So welcome to the Voices from the Front Lines. So next Tuesday on May 1st, the Multi-Ethnic Immigrant Workers Organizing Network, or MIWAN, will be having a march for immigrant rights and workers' rights starting at 3rd in Vermont at 2 p.m. So joining us is Dalia Herrera, an organizer with the Garment Worker Center, one of the organizations inside MIWAN. Welcome, Dalia. Good to have you on the show.
Thank you for inviting us. How are you all beautiful doing?
Great.
Great.
So I guess to start off, you know, for the last several years, MIWAN has organized the May Day events, connecting the International Workers' Day and the fight for immigrant rights, so kind of immigrant rights as workers' rights as human rights. And this year, the march route is actually starting at 3rd in Vermont and going down to Exposition Park. Can you talk a little bit about, in terms of what does that mean in building the different immigrant communities, the South Asian immigrant community, the Latino immigrant community, the Korean immigrant community, with the Latin American, with the African American community, and pushing for workers' rights and immigrant rights? So can you talk a little bit about the decision of this march and indicating where you guys have been going in terms of broadening your United Front?
Yeah, no, certainly. I think one of the things that's very important to always remember and consider is the historical lessons that the initial celebration of May 1st gives us. And just, you know, for the audience, maybe already know, but just to remember, is that May 1st, or International Workers' Day, it celebrates the power and the importance of the struggles and the resistance of workers in the late 1880s. Who through their organized struggle eventually want the 8-hour day and with a living minimum wage, which today we have a right to. And one of the things that happened back then was that the workers who organized, it was over almost over half of a million people who came together in the late 1886 to be exact. And it was multi-ethnic groups, multi-industry. Many of the workers were from South and East European countries, as well as many workers who had already been born here in the United States, and they were working together because they realized that the employers and the government itself was only out to exploit them and to use them as cheap labor, and that the only way that they were going to be able to make changes and have better living conditions and better working conditions was going to be by working together as working people, as by organizing together. And just, you know, in the spirit of that and not forgetting that here in the United States, workers are strong regardless of where we were born, whether we have immigration documents or not. That workers have a strong power of organizing in a spirit of resistance, and knowing that by working together today, we won, right? Because as workers, we're under attack. And so knowing that coming together with different communities, with workers in different industries, And really being out in the community, can really strengthen and bring back, even this, morale of resistance, given that, many times we just feel like, oh, you know, things are going bad and there's the constant poverty and attacks and it just seems that there's nothing that we can do about it. When in reality, there's a lot that we can do. And so as Miwan, we're coming out, to celebrate the power that all workers have in LA. Certainly in all of the United States and obviously in solidarity with thousands of actions happening by millions of workers around the world on May 1st. And so for us it's really important to be out here really celebrating all of us together as workers and strengthening the bridges with each other. Specifically when there's so much that's used against workers to divide us, and so really remembering the historical lessons that many thousands and millions of workers have left us here in the United States to not forget that and celebrate this May 1st with such celebration.
Hmm. Well, then, you know, let's talk a little bit about Miwan has also taken in to focus, in addition to the usual demands of looking at legalization and workers' rights and no on the raids, is that you guys are actually picking up three struggles that are impacting workers and immigrant workers in particular, right?
Mm-hmm.
So understanding the domestic workers fight that the Chirla and the Filipino Worker Center are waging, and then the port workers, supporting in solidarity with the port workers, a project of Lane, and then also the fare increase hike, the fare hike that's actually being proposed. Can you take each one and like start and tell us a little bit about the connections that you guys are trying to bridge? So let's start with the home care workers.
Certainly, you know, with the home care workers, definitely it's in a location of work where many workers are fighting for their life to have a living, dignified life. And you know, one of the things is taking all the three different campaigns. For us, it's really important to understand that not one or another is more or less important. But rather that they're all connected and, you know, just going back to the situation of like really regardless of what industry we really are working in, most workers are experiencing, similar conditions of life. And, whether we're home care workers or household workers, or port workers, the fight is usually the same, and for us it's really important that we build these bridges specifically with all different locations of work to really strengthen and see that, because many times what usually happens is that we just sort of focus on one specific location of work and we really as Miwan in this May 1st, we really want to bring out the interconnections amongst all workers, regardless of the industry we're working in, regardless of our location of work. And for us, that's really important. And so, you know, instead of maybe necessarily going into each one of those particular campaigns, just, you know, really reiterate that all workers are really facing and living very similar conditions, whether it be workers who were born here or not born here, we live in similar communities, we live with each other and face similar conditions, and really putting that out there that working together and organizing together, supporting each other's struggles and celebrating each other for the power that we have as workers is very important, especially in these times where we're under attack as workers. Wages are not fully getting paid, even workers who are in unions, right? The threats that there is about pensions getting taken away, even, you know, the conditions of not having a voice or a decision to decide what our working place conditions will be. And so for us, it's really important to remember that.
Man, I think it's the whole call to actually talk about kind of internationally, you know, the connections between workers, I think is really, really important. I think that's mm-hmm. one of the things that, you know, in terms of labor community strategies, you know, we talk about open borders. Like, we don't need borders. The borders were imposed by the U.S. and government. This is in, you know, KPFK is in Mexico right now, you know? So I think that that's important. But I think the other thing that's just that I feel like helps me understand the kind of campaigns and whatnot is that when we look at it, even we talk about workers, it's not like even low wage workers are still there's several groups that are within there that some, you know, unite on particular things, others don't. I think one of the things that really just kind of stuck out with me, just and hopefully you can talk a little bit more about the other two struggles, but to this weekend when we were out organizing, I talked to a bus rider named Rosa, mm-hmm. and this is, you know, in relation to the fare hike increase, and she was talking about just you know, a real person on the street, you know, what does her life look like in terms of this fare hike, and she says her and her husband take classes at community college so that they can get the student pass, which is a $30 pass.
Right.
Within that, she has three children, two who are too young to actually pay fare, one in middle school. And through all the bills, food, healthcare, et cetera, at the end of the week, what she has on her at the end of the month is $19.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at these things in particular, I think along the different kind of race categories, which I think a lot of it is me trying to bridge those, I think it affects different workers differently,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think when that, it's like, I think that, what are some of the...
It does, Damon, but I think many times there's so much of a focus on trying to, like, see, like, the specifics of how, like, each particular worker, each, you know, different communities face different struggles. I mean, certainly there's specific situations that happen, but I think if we, you know, look at it in the general sense and being realistic, right, in terms of really seeing each other as comrades, as co-workers, or as working peoples in this society, specifically living in LA within the United States, you know, we face the situation with the transportation system, right? Like the housing situation, the rent, you know, just, you know, constant struggle with wages. And so, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I think many times it's also important to at the same time understand that all across the working people in LA specifically, you know, obviously throughout the whole United States and obviously millions of people around the world are experiencing similar conditions. And, you know, and I want to add too, many times people think that nothing has changed, you know, like the conditions back in the 1800s, 1880s were usually where people were working 10 to 16, you know, sometimes 24 hours a day. And, you know, the same situation that you're describing right now about Rosa, you know, most people didn't have, you know, money left at the end of the month, you know. And many times people think, well, like, nothing has changed. The thing is that conditions did change because as a result of workers coming together and organizing and seeing themselves as working people who have the power to actually enforce and make the changes that they want in terms of the quality and the condition of life that they want, that they desire as human beings, regardless of where we're from, regardless where we live, that then, you know, things can change. And so people have come together to really make not only those demands, but really work with each other. And one of the things that has happened, right, is that as a result of in the 1970s and 1980s, once a lot of the free trade agreements started to happen and a lot of the corporation and, you know, obviously the military interventions that have happened throughout history, how it has impacted everyone around the world and specifically here in our communities. And so for us, it's really important to know that, you know, in our communities outside of the United States and inside the United States, we live in a situation of poverty, of constantly being attacked in all sorts of way in our living conditions. Obviously, you know, I know later on you're going to be talking about, you know, Skid Row, right? Like, just, but the police state that we live in, the amount of incarceration of all communities of working people, you know, and so for us it's really important to remember that being out here celebrating May 1st is a reminder of the power and resistance that workers have and the power that there is by even coming out into the streets to see each other, because we don't have that in L.A. many times, right?
Well,
many
I think just in terms of what you're saying, I understand. And for our listeners, this might be just us, you know, trying to get to the same place, but looking at it could be slightly different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, one of the things, like, you know, it's coming up this, you know, the mayor's Super Sunday, Super Saturday weekend, where he's actually be talking on a panel with, you know, Baca, who's the sheriff,
right,
Ed Paysinger, Connie Rice, all these folks who are going to talk about black and brown unity. But then to me, it's like, to me, how I've experienced actually building the solidarity between is actually talking about how the struggles are different, but then where the unity is. Because if you look at a poor black person, a poor Latino person, generally speaking, what a poor black person said, you know, that isn't politicized is pretty reactionary. It's like, you know, we built this country, now they're coming to take our stuff. So I think a lot of it is trying to get into the minutiae in that and say, like, hey, we need to actually make sure that we focus on everybody's struggle and then build from there. So what's your response to that?
Yeah, you know, and I think one of the important things is, and that I found we've seen in working with garment workers here in downtown L.A., is that history is very important. There's a lot of, you know, through media, through the education, just even through the history that many, you know, we see in schools, like with the youth, the general ideas, the ideologies that I put out there just in general society about who we are as peoples living in LA or in the United States, who we are as black people, who we are as brown people, who we are as Asian peoples. There's all these prejudices, there's all these biases and stereotypes that we have of each other, and one of the things that has really worked for us is to be able to look at history and understand history and understand why it is that we're at where we're at today. And understanding that when people see each other with an understanding of the historical experiences that have happened or that have been imposed on us, and then they're able to then see each other as equals, as people that, like, oh, you know what, you're just not out homeless because you're lazy, you know, or we work really hard, right? Or, like, we take the jobs that nobody else wants to take, right? Like, people then begin to really see why it is that we're in such a state of living and why it is that as workers we're pitted against each other, why there is such poverty and how we're made to, like, actually attack each other and blame each other, because we're, you know, history is used to really blind us from being able to see each other as powerful peoples who can work together and who we're not each other's enemy. Right?
So,
go ahead.
Delia, in the last 30 seconds, tell folks where they should be on May 1st and where folks are gathering. And then also a number and contact information if they want to get involved and help out.
Certainly. So people on May 1st, Tuesday, they should be out celebrating International Workers' Day. With MeWant, we're going to be meeting on 3rd and Vermont at 2 p.m. You can call 213-748-5866.
And then give the number again,
213-748-5866.
Great.
And we invite people to bring drums. There's noisemakers, songs, chants, puppets, food to share with each other, water, of course. And, you know, come out and celebrate with more workers, meet more workers, and celebrate the proud and strong roots of workers' struggle here in the United States and with thousands of actions happening across the world.
Thank you so much. That's Delia Herrera with the Garment Workers Center and calling everybody out on May Day to come and join the march. And also folks that are trying to push for immigrant rights, just to let people know that today at 6 o'clock there's the hunger strike that's going to begin, sponsored by the March 25th Coalition. It's going to be at 6 p.m. at La Placita Church at North Main Street. So for those who are heading down there, 6 p.m. today. And we'll be right back to talk about the recent Supreme Court ruling upholding a ban on procedure for midterm abortions with Loretta Ross from Sister Song. We'll be right back.